Gosh, it's hard waiting. adrenaline starts pumping, doesn't it? It's actually quite high.
Your six candle sketch.
Four candles. So the title is Jesus Revealed in and Through Us. So the reason I've got these, God gave me a little picture of, well, start with, it was like a pottery thing, holder, and I just felt God was highlighting that we are just like the holders. Jesus is the candle, so I might light them at different points through the talk. But obviously the main thing is Jesus and how he reveals himself in and through us. Just amazing, isn't it, that he would even use us at all. And it's another aspect of spiritual warfare, which we've been going through from different directions, and we've covered so much ground. We've had Winsome talking about coming like a child. I mean, that's warfare in itself, because you're actually coming to a place of trust in the most powerful one, and that's the safest place to be, isn't it? But going into battle as a toddler is not what we would naturally think of doing, is it? So that was amazing. Rosemary was teaching about prayer and fasting, and I was thinking, like, that's like fighting on your knees, isn't it? Again, it's not what you would normally. So God's ways are quite different, aren't they? And then Akin was talking about so many things. I was listening to his talk. There's so much there. It's really worth listening again. I think it was basically about God's love and how he, again, chooses to use us to show that love to other people. And there's a lot more as well. I'll just touch on it because it kind of fits with what I was thinking. So forgive me, Akin, but I've kind of borrowed a bit from his talk as well. So he was mentioning Matthew 16, was it verse 13? So I'm just going to read that. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew 16, verse 13. So when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he said. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by a man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." That's quite powerful, isn't it? And I love the prophetic. I love the prophetic ministry. I love hearing God. Love that side of it. And I've only sort of seen this recently in this passage, and I listened to the Glasgow prophetic ministry quite a lot, which I know Fiona. And they had a very similar message to this. And as Akin was explaining, the key part was that God had revealed something to Peter. So it wasn't what he'd heard other people say about Jesus, but Peter had had a revelation through the Holy Spirit, must have been through, of who Jesus was. And, you know, like those aha moments when you think, you read the Bible and think, but then it comes alive. And or God speaks in a way that just means a lot to you or makes sense in a way that you hadn't seen it before. So it was this personal revelation of who Jesus was that was so powerful. And in fact, Jesus said, "On this rock, I will build my church." So it was the fact that Peter had this revelation was the powerful thing that was a firm foundation. So the thing is that the church, to be built on these, the personal revelations that we have of Jesus, because I guess we can all think of times when it's become more real to us who God is, what he means to us. I think when I first became a Christian, it was God the Father. Knowing that God was personal Father to me, it just blew my mind, and I'll never get away from that. That was my first step towards God. And I wonder, bit of audience participation, can anyone, hopefully recently or in time past, where you've had one of these moments that God has revealed an aspect of who he is that has really impacted you? So I don't know, just have a think. If any of you have had that experience recently?
One line, but it was like, I spoke the first word and I will have the last word. And it really hit me. Wow. Yes, exactly. Wow. Given, you know, the current situation and everything.
Yeah. Mm. Does that make you feel stronger?
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
A good foundation.
Yes.
Yeah. Because that will stay with you, won't it? That revelation from God. I'm going to light a candle for that. This is for you, Fiona. What would you like to be, a star? Yes, I think you're a star.
Yeah. And anyway, this morning again, I was reading the word where it says, it was actually the Bible app I was reading, and talked about Jesus knocking on the door. And of course, it's the door of the church, not the door of the world. And the commentator said, it really blew my mind, because he said, Jesus is a gentleman. He will always ask, whereas Satan will come in through any open door. And I thought, now, isn't that amazing?
Yes. Yeah. That's why sometimes he's a bit quiet, isn't he? Because he's waiting for us to say, come in. Doesn't push it onto us. Wow. Great. I'm going to save two and light two in a minute. Really matches. Wow. And that bless, does that bless your heart?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Perhaps the last several months is that he is a just judge. He's just. It doesn't matter who comes before him. He is a God who always works in justice. And that is both comforting and alarming to me. Yeah. But it's the justice of God will work its way out because that's who he is.
How does that make you feel, Rosemary?
Alarmed and happy in equal measure.
Gives you reassurance, or does it give you reassurance in your faith? Or
it's just a solid foundation.
Yeah,
I think. It's just that solidness of he's immovable in his righteousness, immovable, and doesn't matter whether it's a believer or a non-believer. Actually, he is immovable. He is righteous and just. But praise God, the big thing is, thanks be to God, that Jesus has paid the price and speaks on our behalf in the courts of heaven. So we have an advocate in Jesus who is on our side, and we're covered by the blood.
Mm.
So
wow.
That's a relief, isn't
Amen. It? Amen. Definitely deserve a candle. I think we should go for the red, do you? Blood of Jesus. Winston, what would you... I think this pink one's for you. It's a lovely aroma. I can't remember what it is now. Anyone else?
Reading Derek Prince's book on blessings and curses, and I didn't feel there was any particular curses that I needed to get rid of, but I thought, well, I'm going to to read the prayer at the end of the book out loud. And as I did so, I felt as if chains were falling away. But more importantly, as those chains hit the ground, they disintegrated and just became dust, so that there was no way that they could come back and bind me again.
Wow. Wow. Amen. Is that two camels worth?
Big camel for that one.
Got to pace ourselves. Should we give you this one? Right. Anyone else?
We prayed in the car, didn't we? And I thought, we prayed, well, I don't know if I can do this. Didn't have much voice, and I felt really ill. And the Lord really spoke to me through Isaiah 33, where he says, "Be our strength every morning, our salvation in time of distress." And he did. He really came through, because I couldn't do this morning. I felt too ill.
Wow.
And he really has been this morning.
He's enabled me
to bring, that worship this morning, which is, I had nothing at all.
Wow.
He's amazing.
Wow. He almost gets more glory then, doesn't he?
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's just those beautiful little words of scripture that he just drops into your spirit. So powerful.
Wow. We'll give you this sweet pea.
Oh, yes, please.
One more to go. Would anyone else like to share?
Because I help out in Oxford with the homeless every Monday night. And there was one guy who came in, and he didn't like the food. And he's actually quite rude, very, very troubled guy. Like he's like addicted to all sorts of drugs and alcohol and that. And then afterwards, he was still sat outside, and I just said to him, "Do you want to get you some food?" And then I actually walked around Oxford with him for about an hour until he decided which kebab van he wanted food from. And then as I was standing at the kebab van, he was like saying, "Yeah, I don't want to go there because I don't want them to like spit in my food, because they see I'm homeless and that, and they see you're getting food for me and that." And I was like, "Okay, well, you wait over there by the bus stop." And then by the time I got it, he'd like walked away, so I caught up to him, and he was just like accusing me of like having poisoned his food and whatnot. And I was like, "I haven't poisoned your food." And then, and then in the end he took it, and he actually said he appreciated it in the end when I was walking away, and I realized he really did appreciate it. It's just, I don't know, it just sort of gave me a sort of sense of, that's crazy. That's how Jesus must have felt a lot of the time when he was doing good to people. They were just accusing him of doing wrong. And it was quite an amazing experience.
He persevered.
Yeah.
Got through. God's love broke through. So you get the love heart there. Oh, matches are letting me down. There we go. If not. There we go. Done. So, yeah, it's just the power, isn't it, of these revelation that God gives us through things that happen in our lives. Often it's a time when we feel quite weak, we feel frustrated, we don't know why people react the way they do. But God, as I think Akin was saying, the enemy is trying to get our focus from Jesus onto the situation, onto our weakness. But the strength is when we can keep our eyes on Jesus, and then he gets the glory. He's the one shining through our weakness, our brokenness. I just share an experience I had earlier this year. Had a couple of relational situations that were very challenging, all in one week. And words were said, one of them was in my family, so it was quite difficult, that were hurtful in different ways. So you've got a lot of choices, haven't you, how to react. There's a lot of pain, especially when people may have different points of view, how to go forward in these situations. One is someone in my family is not a Christian, and just we couldn't really discuss anything properly. I felt really, really challenged, and God helped me to see this, just to say I'm sorry, which is really hard when you think someone else might have done something as well. So, but anyway, it was really hard, but it actually brought a breakthrough in the connections, because I didn't want to lose connection with people. And that was my stress. It was just like, it was like a block. I don't know how I'm going to get through. But in doing that, then Jesus, sort of, I don't know, revelation, how he said sorry, slightly different, but on our behalf. And it wasn't his fault. So, I mean, I had, some of it was my fault, but he said sorry on our behalf to God in a way, because we got it wrong. We could never really put it right ourselves. But this is just amazing revelation of what Jesus has done on our behalf. And it came through this really, really difficult week when, you know, it was very, very painful. But I just felt more aware of what Jesus had done, and that he must have felt pain, because, well, he felt all of our pain, didn't he? But the verse that I came across, which is quite helpful, is in Philippians 2, from verse 1. If you have an encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look not only to your own interest, but to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And it was just the way that Jesus had to die to himself, didn't he, in so many different ways. He had to die to his position, die to his all the privileges he would have had before. Must have been very painful. And he wasn't just looking to his own interests, but he was looking to our interests. So I just had a very little small example of it in my life, but it's just amazing, isn't it, what Jesus did, the pain he was willing to suffer for us. So that was my revelation. But I think these revelations are so important, and it's encouraging, because we do hear God, don't we, quite a lot in our prayer times and praying in tongues in the week. And I think it's maybe more a value than we realize, because we're sort of putting a lot of bricks in place, aren't we, in our life together. We're hearing God, we're getting those revelations, and it's really important. And I know we all hear God in different ways, don't we? We through the word, through creation. I love quite like looking out the window, and God seems to speak through various things that I see in the garden or in my room, or dreams. We've had dreams and visions. You know, it's quite exciting, isn't it, the way God is speaking in lots of different ways. But to encourage our hearts, to show us what he's like, and we can, you know, this is building strength into us. And it's a part of warfare, because we know more who we are in him. And we, you know, in difficult circumstances, like what's going on at the moment, if we can keep our eyes on him and what he's saying, we're going to feel stronger. There's a couple of examples also. This is in the way of warfare, because God gives us strategies in this way. So there was an example of Jericho, Joshua at Jericho, where the angel told him to walk around seven times and blow the trumpet. I mean, would you have thought of doing that? But that was a specific revelation from God from that situation. And then with Gideon, God, I can't remember exactly how it happened, but there was confusion in the enemy's camp. And so that's part of what I prayed this morning. You know, they couldn't be successful because they, whatever caused it, supernaturally confused. But these were specific guidelines that God had given these men in those situations. So again, it's important, isn't it? As well as the revelation of Jesus, that we hear his strategies for all these different situations that we might be involved in, and praying into the world situation as well. So this is where this becomes part of our spiritual warfare. It's quite a funny story I heard on, it was the Glasgow prophetic teaching, there was some teaching, a guy that's really leads a lot of their worship, and he writes songs, very good in leading worship, and they were praying for a friend who'd been ill with malaria quite poorly, and so they were praying, worshipping, and God gave him a song, and he was so embarrassed because it was basically sounded like a happy birthday song. And the words, I've got the words somewhere. The words were, okay, can't remember the tune. The words were, resurrection, his name was Matthew Murray, the guy they were praying for. Resurrection is in your veins, Matthew Murray. Don't you worry, Matthew Murray. And they basically, God said, keep singing this song. And it felt like happy birthday. Anyway, but he got healed. And he said his testimony was that that song was so powerful. So we need to hear God and not be afraid to do something that's a bit off track or seems a bit silly or a bit whatever. So it's powerful to release the keys of the kingdom from this place of personal revelation. And obviously, the closer we're walking with God, the more we're going to hear what he's saying to us personally. So on our own, but also when we're together, we're hearing God. So encouraging, isn't it, for lots of different situations. So it's the seedbed for miracles. Intimacy is the seedbed for miracles. That's another thing. And also because it's alive, we can sense God's heart as well as we hear these words and revelations. So just the last things, as we were talking about Whitney Well, who started exploring this model of the Spirit Cafe, Revive Cafe, which Eva was in from the beginning and then got busy with other things. But it was exciting, wasn't it, Eva? So the Spirit Cafe, if people don't know, is a way of presenting almost the gifts of the Spirit, really, to people outside of the church. So a prophetic word or a prayer for healing, spiritual cleansing or peace treatment. So just excited as well that we've got this outreach that we're practicing, we're getting the hang of. And we have seen people already that have been blessed because of that. But again, it's personal revelation for those specific people is actually touching their hearts and may hopefully bring freedom, bring them closer to God. So I think we're doing quite well. And we have a practice tomorrow night online if anyone would like to join. I just really encourage you to keep going and just realize how powerful these revelations are, because that's the rock on which Jesus is building his church. And it's all the truth, isn't it? But it's the truth coming alive in our hearts. is powerful. I hope that makes sense. Amen. And his light shining through us.